Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Just read the one verse. And when he had found him, he brought him in unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us liberty and power to preach. And I pray, Lord God, help us to be introspective tonight. Look at ourselves and not another. And see ourselves as we are. And help us to fix those things we find lacking, that we might be pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I couldn't find a text for the message I had, so I just picked this one. I've been watching preachers do that for years now. They read a text, and I never can figure out how it was related to what they were talking about. So I just thought, well, it works for them. I'll try it myself. Christians are the disciples of Christ were first called Christian at Antioch. And the reason for that was they acted like Christ. When you say Christian, that I'm a Christian, you're telling the world you're a follower or disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian presupposes Christ-likeness. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about that from a very restricted point of view. I want to bring you a little message tonight entitled Christian at Home. Waldo Grandstaff told me years and years and years ago, and Brother Waldo's up in glory now, he said, the hardest place in the world to be a Christian is at home. You really wouldn't think that, but having watched it for years and years now, for me personally and other people that I've been able to observe, he's absolutely right. The toughest place in the world to be Christ-like is at home. So I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. Let me start by looking at some places where it's not so hard to be a Christian and work our way down the list to the toughest place in the world. Now, the easiest place in the world to be a Christian is right here. Easiest place in the world to be a Christian is at church. For crying out loud, man, you come to church, you're all dressed up. You got on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Amen. We've had our weekly bath. We've brushed our teeth for the week. We've washed our bib coveralls and starched and ironed them, and here we are looking our best. Amen. Most folks come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time they show up, they come looking good. They come in a good frame of mind. We've come to worship the Lord. We've come to fellowship with the saints. We've come to sing the songs of Zion. And we arrive and fellowship with each other, it's, hey, brother this and sister that and the Lord this and the Lord that and ain't God good? And we just put on that very visible Christian facade. And everybody thinks we're looking for a vacancy in the Trinity. Amen. If you can't be Christian or Christ-like at church, you really got a problem. This is the easiest place in the world. Everybody's talking about God. Everybody's being religious. Amen. Everybody's trying to look Christian, talk Christian, sound Christian, dress Christian. And so it's easy. Why? Because everybody else is doing it, and there's no opposition, and there's no tension, and you don't feel embarrassed talking religious. And so the easiest place in the world to be Christian is right here. Now, there's another place where it's pretty easy. Not as easy, but still it's pretty easy. And that's around strangers in your local community. It's pretty easy to be Christian around folks you don't really know and don't really fellowship with in the area where you live or work because it's where you live and work. And it's pretty easy to be Christian there and to act Christian because if you're afraid, if you don't, it'll get back to the preacher. Amen. You're afraid somebody will find out. None of us want to let down our guard on our home turf and have somebody question the quality, the caliber of our Christianity. And so, in our local neighborhoods and that kind of thing, it's pretty easy to be Christian because we stay on guard. We don't let down too much because you don't know when you're going to bump into somebody. You don't know who knows who. And, you know, you meet this guy and you've never seen him before, but you get to talking and they know somebody you know, and you know there's somebody else really well. And, you know, so it's pretty easy to maintain our testimony and all that in our local area, around our home, that kind of thing, with strangers, because we want to come off looking good. Then it's not too difficult, it's a little more difficult, but not too difficult, to look and act and talk Christian at work. You go to work, and you know folks are going to find out about you sooner or later, so you let the cat out of the bag that you're saved and that you go to church. Amen. And once the cat is out of the bag, it makes it easier to do right. You're not nearly as quick to fly off the handle and cuss somebody out if you know that everybody knows that you're a Christian. And so sometimes it's stressful at work. Things go wrong and you're aggravated and irritated and you want to lose your temper. But you are restrained by the knowledge that they know where you go. And you know that they, knowing that, if you do something, they're going to say, "Oh, I thought you were a Christian." Do all Christians cuss when they get mad? And so, while it's a little more difficult sometimes because of the atmosphere to be Christ-like at work, still it's not too tough, amen? Especially if when you first go there, you let the cat out of the bag that you're a Christian, you go to such and such a church, and you know that folks are going to be watching you. And believe me, they watch you. Now, it's not too difficult to be Christ-like at work. I'll tell you where it's a little harder. It's a little harder to be Christ-like on vacation. Because on vacation, generally you leave the local vicinity. You go to the coast. You go to the mountains. And you don't know anybody. And better yet, nobody knows you. And so here is an opportunity to unleash the straitjacket. Here's the perfect opportunity for a day or two, a week, or whatever it is, to relax the standards and let down a little. And so it's more difficult when you're someplace where nobody knows you and you know nobody, to live the same consistent Christian life and have the same principles and the same standards of conduct away as it is at home. Now, you certainly ought to. You ought to live the same life wherever you're at, regardless of where you're at or who you're with or what the circumstances are. I'm a Christian 24/7 by 365. Amen. But boy, I know the flesh. And you get away and get in those isolated places, and folks are doing things, and they're wearing their shorts and their little bathing suits and all that, and the temptation is to dress like and act like the unsaved world. And so you have to put a little more effort into your Christianity under those circumstances. You have to resist the temptation to conform. And the reason there's such a temptation is nobody will know. Now, a thing is never right or wrong based on whether somebody knows it or not. It is right or wrong based on what it is. And if it's wrong at home, it's wrong at Myrtle Beach. If it's wrong at home, it's wrong in the mountains. Amen. But it is a little more difficult. Christians tend to find it harder to be Christ-like on vacation than they do around home. Then I'll tell you a place where it's pretty tough. It's not impossible, but it's getting tougher all the time. I say, when is that? When you're alone and unknown. It's a lot that most of the time you go on vacation, you got your wife with you, or your children with you, or family with you. But people who go places by themselves and they're not known, the tendency is to keep your mouth shut and not let anybody know that you're a Christian. And that way, you can conform to whatever's going on around you without being criticized or looked down on or thought to be a hypocrite. And being alone and unknown, nobody will ever know. Except God. Except God. God knows. I remember one time I got transferred to a new ship. I was in the Navy. And nobody knew me, and I knew nobody. They were getting ready to go overseas. We were headed to Vietnam. Now, I know what goes on. I'm not as retarded as I look. I know, I've been preaching about water Christians for years. I know how religious people are on the boat, and as soon as it pulls into port, how they shine their shoes and brush their teeth and head for the first bar and pick up the first hooker. I've seen it happen 1,000 times. And I thought, Lord, I want to protect myself and my testimony. What can I do to make it hard for me not to act like a Christian? And so the first day I walked into the power plant shop. That's where the jet engine mechanics work. I was going to be the new shop supervisor. I walked in and I got all the men there together and had a little meeting. And the first thing I did, I said, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by God's grace. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I don't drink, smoke, or carouse around. I did that right off. You say, why'd you do that? Because I didn't want to be tempted to let my guard down when I pulled into port. Now everybody knows, and everybody's watching. And if they see me in the wrong place or doing the wrong thing, my testimony is ruined. My influence is ruined. So I just said, I'll make it easy on myself. I'll just tell them right now and make myself a super saint and make myself a real stand-up guy, and then if there's any deviation from that, I'll be crucified with these people. So what happened? Well, then I'm afraid to do anything. Amen. Afraid to. It's tough when you're alone and unknown. And so some places it's easier, some places it's harder, but we ought to be consistent in our Christian life, amen? If you name the name of Christ, we ought to endeavor with all of our might to be Christ-like. And I found that the hardest place in the world to do that is at home with family. And here's the reason. Home is where you say to yourself, this is my oasis. This is my refuge. This is inside the fort. I'm isolated from and protected from the world and all that's in it. This is the one place on the planet where I can let my hair down. This is the one place where I can relax and not be on guard. That's the way we look at it. We say, buddy, when I'm at home, I relax and I, you know, I can ease up there a little bit, which is, that's a fallacy. That's wrong. There's no place on the planet where you can let down. Amen. You cannot ever relax your Christianity. Amen. When you relax, when you let down, you become less careful. And the truth is, we need to be careful about our testimony and the quality of our Christian life everywhere and all the time with everybody. We need to be careful about what we say, what we wear, what we watch, and our attitude. Now, at home with family, folks think they can let down and they can say things or use language or talk different than they do anywhere else. Now, I found the best policy is to use the same bad language everywhere. I know Christians who are less modest at home than they are other places. That should never be. A mom and a dad ought to be as modest at home with children around as they are anywhere. But they think there's a difference because it's family. And there is no difference. We think that we can watch things at home. Nobody's going to know that I saw this. Nobody's going to know that I listened to it. But you know. Your conscience knows. And God knows.
Amen.
Amen. And things that if you were sitting in somebody else's house and it came on, you would be embarrassed and perhaps excuse yourself or find some reason to leave or not to watch it. You'll sit at home and soak it up. And we say, well, I'm a full-grown person. I'm an adult. This won't impact me. It won't have any effect on what I believe. It won't have any effect on how I think. But it does. Everything that enters through these two holes right here, everything that enters these two holes right here impacts the way you think and reason. And you, if you don't understand that, if you don't know that, you're just too dumb to breathe. Everything in your life impacts you. It may not substantially change you in one setting, but it makes a dent. And you get enough dents, you're deformed.
Amen.
Amen. You watch it long enough, listen to it long enough, it will deaden or desensitize or change the way you perceive certain things. You got to have the same standard at home that you have any place else. And if you wouldn't watch it in public, if you wouldn't watch it in mixed company, if you wouldn't listen to it with somebody else around, then you ought not listen to it by yourself. But probably the single biggest area that we have trouble with being a Christian at home is this. Attitude. You ever notice that when you go to church, everybody's always polite? And if somebody says something that kind of aggravates you or irritates you, you ever come to church and you're having a conversation and you go home and you tell your husband or your wife, oh, so-and-so said something, well, she just really aggravated me this morning. I mean, she just really ticked me off. But what did you do about it? You didn't do anything. You just kept on smiling and glossed it over and changed the subject or went and talked to somebody else. You didn't fly off the handle. You didn't let them have it, did you? But you go home. Your husband or your wife or your children or your sibling says something or does something that aggravates you or irritates you. And you are all over them like a little banty rooster, boy. And you just chew them up and spit them out. At home, we are so hateful and so short and so curt with each other and so unfeeling, and we let little things that aggravate us, we think we have the right to fly off the handle and say whatever we want to. We don't have to be as courteous at home. We don't have to treat our mates or our children with the same respect and the same deference that we do people out in public or that we do with church members. What in the world is wrong with our mind that make us think like that? Of all the people on the planet that I would like to impress with the reality of my Christianity, my wife, my children, and my grandchildren. Ladies and gentlemen, the honest truth is, if there is any place that I must maintain my standard and keep a handle on my attitude and my conduct and what I'll allow and what I don't allow, and it needs to be at home. If those are the people that we love, those are the people that we want to believe that we are real and sincere. We want to make an impact on them, an impression that we are real and genuine so that they will follow. We want to see our children saved. We want to see our grandchildren saved. Then we not only want to see them saved, we want them to see them move on and live for God and serve God all the days of their life. And if they see this double standard, this duplicity, this hypocrisy in us, we're one way at church, we're one way with strangers, we're one way on vacation, we're one way in the world, and we're a different creature snapping and snarling and biting and vindictive and small and little and belittling at home, we undermine and destroy all that we've labored to build. I bet I'm in the midst of a room full of guilty people. I know I am. It's so easy to do. They say familiarity breeds contempt. That is, because of our relationship, because we know each other and love each other, we think the other person will take our junk and blow it off. The truth is, we hurt those we love just like we would hurt a stranger. There is no difference. But boy, is it hard to maintain that Christ-likeness, that proper attitude and all that at home, because we want to let down, we want to relax. I don't want to always be on guard. I don't want to always have to be fighting the flesh. But the honest truth is, I can find no place to take a rest. I can find no place to let down. Well, I have many a time. And I've regretted it every single time. It always comes back to bite you. But it's just so easy to do. It's just like getting in a church. And when you first get there, you find it exciting and motivated, and then you get in the routine, and things just kind of go along as they always were, and you get in that rut, and before you know it, you're backslid. You're in church, doing right, living right, praying, reading, and all that, and out of fellowship with God. I preached a message here, I don't know, 5-6 years ago called In the House, But Out of Touch. Happens all the time. Preachers are not immune. Associate pastors are not immune. Deacons are certainly not immune. Yet we can get up on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever and come to church and act so Christian. We are so polite and we are so kind and we're thoughtful and we're forgiving and we're tolerant and we ought to be. And then we want to go home and turn all that off. Isn't that a tragedy? The honest truth is, I had a different message for today. I was not going to preach this. I was here this morning with my grandchildren. And they were back here. They've got some new music, and they were starting to work on it, and they couldn't decide which one they wanted to listen to. I was standing over here at the pulpit making some notes, and they're over there. And I hear this sharp exchange of words between the three of them. Like each one is dumber than a red brick. I slapped the pulpit. And I said, enough of that. I want to hear it. And then they all got mad at me. And I'm standing here this morning. I wrote this outline this morning standing here at the pulpit because I see it in myself. I see it in my wife. I see it in my children, I see it in my grandchildren, even you. And it's bad. It's bad. As God's children, as men and women, boys and girls professing Christ, we ought to do better. And we certainly, if we're going to be Christ-like anywhere, we need to be Christ-like with the ones we love the most. God help me not to say or do anything or act in such a way as to make my children and my grandchildren think Paw is not real. Help me not to say or do anything that would keep my children or my grandchildren from serving Jesus Christ. If I'm to have an impact on anybody, if I'm to influence anybody, Lord God, let it be my family. If my children do not serve God, if my grandchildren do not serve God, in God's name, do not let me be the reason. Well, I'm at home with them a lot more than I'm at church with them. And they need to see Paw, they need to see Nana, they need to see Mama, they need to see Daddy consistently Christ-like. And that includes home. Amen. We need to learn to be. We need to labor to be. We need to pray about it and work at it. To be Christian at home. Who more than our family do we want to see converted? Who more than our own families do we want to see serve God? Nobody can have more of an impact on my family and my children, my grandchildren, than me. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we need some Christians who will take it to heart to be Christ-like. Let's bow in. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord God, we ask your forgiveness for the way we disappoint and the way we let you down. We ask you to forgive us for those times when there seems to be nothing about us Christ-like. We ask you to forgive us for the damage we've done because of bad attitude and careless actions. Wash us in the blood, cleanse us, restore us, and oh God, most of all, enable us and empower us to do better tomorrow. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake.